My name is Heather Reed, and I'm with the Intergovernmental Ocean Policy Unit of the FISH Program. I'm here today to talk about proposed changes to coastal recreational Dungeness crab rules. This proposal was brought to us by a member of the public, and I thought it might be helpful if I just start with a brief overview of the coastal Dungeness crab fishery. So the commercial fishery for both recreational and the commercial fleet is managed by the very common management approach that we refer to as 3S. And what it means is that we restrict the fishery to the size of the crab, so crab can be retained when they're either 6 inches for the recreational fishery or 6 1/4 inches for the commercial fishery. It's restricted to males only. Retention of female crab is prohibited, and it's closed during the primary molt period, which in the coastal areas is from about mid-September through the end of November. And just to give you some scale of the coastal crab fishery, I think some of you are aware that the coastal Dungeness commercial fishery is one of the most valuable fisheries to the state of Washington. I have some figures up here for 2002 to 2007, and those are older numbers just because we don't estimate catch in the recreational fishery. It has been assumed to be very small relative to the commercial fishery. However, in those years, 2002 to 2007, we did have a catch record card program that required anglers to turn in catch record cards for coastal crab. So for those years, we estimate that the recreational catch from that catch record card was about 49, almost 50,000 pounds. That compares during the same time period of about almost 16 million pounds landed by the commercial fishery. So just to bring you closer to the current year, that average for 2012 to 2017, so a similar time frame, including tribal catch, is about the same, with average catch during these more recent years at about almost 15 million pounds, 14.7.
The 15 million pounds, what does that equate to in dollars? But I mean, it doesn't, I don't need just a wild range.
Sure. I think a low guess is at least $30 million and probably more than that. It is, I should have put my little pie chart in here. We use it
a
lot.
No, that's fine, but it's just
it's
curious.
Very valuable fishery.
While you're on it, of that 15 or 16 million pounds, how much do you know is exported?
It's changed in recent years, so a lot more is exported. To China is one of our bigger markets, and that's actually raised the value. So where I used about $2, that value has gone way up to over $3 or $4 per pound because of that foreign market.
Maybe the tariff now, probably.
It's been interesting, right?
Playing to a rough crowd this afternoon.
So, and this, I just want to orient you to the area where I'm talking about these proposed changes. So this is just proposed for our coastal marine areas. That's Marine Area 1 in the south, which is Ilwaco and Chinook. Marine Area 2, which is Westport, and it includes Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay. Marine Area 3, which is Lepush, and Marine Area 4, but just west of the Benilla Tatoosh line. And I point out that this does not include changes to the Columbia River. We co-manage the Columbia River crab fishery with Oregon. Our rules are set to more conform with Oregon's rules, and the crab fishery, the recreational crab fishery, is open year-round for pots in that area. Sure.
Do we have co-managers with the coastal marine crab fishery? Are there tribes?
Yes. Yeah, great question. We co-manage the fishery north of Point Chehalis, Washington, which is right about there at the south jetty of Grays Harbor to the north, with 4 coastal treaty tribes.
Thank you.
So this issue came to us really as an issue of gear conflict between the commercial and recreational users, particularly in areas where those two fisheries fish in common. So as I alluded to with the closure for the molt period, this fishery opens in December with weather on the coast that can be oftentimes prohibited for recreational crabbers. That focuses a lot of our recreational effort into Grace Harbor and Willapa Bay when the commercial fishery opens at the same time. Scheduled for December 1, we do a test fishery for the commercial fishery opener, and it is subject to crab being recovered fully from that molt period, so it can be delayed if the crab have not recovered fully. But what we also do for the commercial fleet, and this is an issue of fairness and large boats and small boats getting their gear out in the water at the same time for a fair start, we have a gear set period. And what that does is it allows commercial gear to go in the water as early as November 28th with the sport fishery that opens for pots on December 1. And another clarification for the sport fishery, I'm referring here to the pot fishery. There is a year-round opportunity for recreational crabbing, but that's using ring nets, which is a different type of a gear. So the proposed action here that you're considering, and as a heads up, this was slide 7, so if you're following along in your briefing book, I moved this slide earlier. So the proposal here is to look at moving that recreational season opening back by 2 weeks, and it would open on November 15th. The effects were anticipating here is that this change would reduce the gear conflict. It would provide additional access to recreational users on the coast, and we think would have minimal, if any, impact to the Dungeness crab resource. So the policy issues that we considered when we were putting this proposal together, one, as I've mentioned, so the soft shell crab, there's the potential with this 2 week earlier opening that if the crab haven't fully recovered from their molt, there could be increased encounters by the recreational sector of soft shell crab. And additionally, the commercial sector may feel that there's an unfair advantage to for the recreational sector with this additional 2 weeks. Our feeling is that given the minor change in the regulations, it's just a two-week opener. There's very limited effort on the coast, as you can see in the small catch estimates, that the impact to the resource would be minimal. In addition, I also wanted to bring up the timing of this rule. So normally our sport rules are considered through a WDFW sport rule process. That's actually scheduled to begin in July of next year, with those rules considered through the commission and effective in July 2020. This proposal is a little unique in that it came to our rules coordinator in the form of a petition to the Fish and Wildlife Commission. When that petition came to my desk, I worked with the stakeholder filing the petition to see if they would be willing to consider an alternative. We talked about the sport rule process, but that's on a longer timeline. But if we were to go through this commission process in the more traditional manner, I could take it back to the Commercial Crab Advisory Board, make them aware of the proposed changes, and actually facilitate a little more public input than I think would be available under the petition process, including input by the petitioner themselves, who I believe through the petition process can listen to the commission discussion but not necessarily be able to provide input. I want to go back a little bit to the timeline. So the process we use, we generally meet with the Commercial Dungeness Crab Advisory Board. It's a formal advisory board with the membership appointed by the director. Several times a year, Usually we start in spring when the commercial fishery has slowed down a bit and people have some time to get together. We had some things on our agenda, but we talked about this in one of our spring and late summer meetings. Let the commercial advisors know about this proposal. We heard from them. We heard, input that, they can understand opening the fishery on the same day. Definitely there was some recognition that gear going in the water in advance of the recreational fishery, there might be some unfairness there. The outreach that I did to the recreational sector, this is the people that I felt would be more impacted, was to recreational groups, and let the advisors know as a courtesy what this presentation was, what we'd be presenting to the commission, and I think you'll be able to hear from both our sport and commercial representatives. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
Back on the impact on the resource, so possible that we'll see more soft shell taken, but the expectation is that would be returned to, is that correct? Do we have a sense of mortality when that is the case? And do we have any estimate of how much soft shell might be taken in the additional 2 weeks?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Thorburn, that's a great question. So there will be handling mortality if the crab have not fully recovered from their molt. There is handling mortality. It's something we monitor in the commercial fishery. And there's a variety of estimates, and it's a little bit difficult to say whether or not in all years that would be the case. In some years the crab molt is early, in some years it's late. It's highly variable, and it's really it's the scale of the recreational fishery. So the other thing I wanted to say, it is illegal to retain soft crabs, so they will be returned to the water, but like you say, there could be handling mortality associated with that.
So if I could follow up. So when does the test fishery go on? So could we get a sense from the test fishery if we're having a late molt and maybe not do the opening to protect the resource?
Sure. The test fishery for the commercial fishery starts actually the third week in October. And we test in early November. And again, at the end of November or early December. It's all dependent on the results of the test, whether or not we need another test. And we're actually not testing in the bays. We're testing more in the coastal areas, but there could be some relationship there. I would just note that the recreational opener isn't contingent on crab quality. It isn't currently anyway. The commercial fishery is, it's December 1 or when crab have met this criteria.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Heather. So this regulation would apply to the whole coast, right? Or this potential change?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Kehoe, yes, it would.
But then you had a little discussion about how this mostly recreational folks would mostly take advantage of this down in the Grays Harbor. I'm sorry, Willapa Bay, Grays Harbor, kind of the inland waters. Is that correct?
That's really where a lot of the recreational effort is. And going back into that catch record card data, you can see that there is some effort in Nia Bay and La Push, but compared to what we're seeing catch-wise, there's a lot more in Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay.
Okay. So may I follow up? And then with respect to the December 1 start date, I think you alluded to that date is for the commercials, is often delayed because of the softness of the crab. Is that fair to say? I mean, more often than not?
Yes, another good question. So there's that, and there's also other delays. I mean, we talked a little bit about the co-management issue that we have with our tribes, but we also, there's some delays north of Point Chehalis that are implemented for our commercial fleet that are beyond the shell conditions. So the fishery can be delayed beyond December 1 more often than not.
And then, so just one last follow-up then. So then... You know, as far as there being a conflict, yes, I mean, potentially there is a gear conflict if, in fact, the commercial fishery starts on December 1, but more cases than not, that's not the case, which then, I guess, arguably would mitigate against the gear conflict issue. Is that fair to say?
Sure. Chair Smith, that's correct. I think what we heard from our recreational folks, what's petition came to us was, well, that's true, and they recognize that, too. It makes it hard to plan for the recreational angler when these delays are going to be there or not. Do they go? Do they go on December 1, or do they wait? Is the commercial fishery going to be delayed? It just, with their opener being set in stone and the commercial opener being variable from year to year, it just makes planning more challenging.
Thank you.
Sure.
How would the winter effort compare to the traditional summer, spring and summer effort on crab? Is it significant, or is it half of what the effort is in the...
For recreation.
Yeah, recreation. Thank you.
Chair Smith, Commissioner Greibel, that is also a good question. I looked at that. It's just given the catch record card data, mm-hmm. which is catch only. It doesn't include effort, so I'll be clear about that. Right. But I was looking at catch by month from that period where we do have the catch record card data, mm-hmm. and it's variable. In many years, the recreational effort is July, August, September, sorry about that, and very little in December. But there's also some years where the catch is more in December than it is in those summer months. So I was a little surprised to find that out, whether or not that's good weather in December that attracts people, or other opportunities like razor clams that's bringing people to the beach. I'm unsure. But.
All right, sure. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, so looking at slide number 5 with some of the concerns here, the commercial sector may feel there's an unfair advantage to the recreational sector. And so this question kind of gets the same effort thing. The vast dominance of the catch is a commercial fishery, as you showed in your first slide. There's very little sport catch in the ocean, really, compared to that. Certainly, it is an advantage to the recreational fishery if there's a two-week jump on the commercial fishery, folks. In the large scale of things, the effort is so small that you would think it might be insignificant. So the only significance I might see here is that for those commercial fishermen that fish at the mouth of Grace Harbor or just over the bar at the Columbia River might have a little bit impacted. So my question is kind of a follow-up on Commissioner Graybill's. Is it virtually insignificant what would be expected in terms of effort in these 2 weeks? Or is it something that is really going to be considered as an unfair advantage by the commercial folks?
Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioner McIsaac. So, one, there is an actual commercial fishery that occurs in Willapa Bay. So it wouldn't just necessarily be gear conflict when you're outside of Willapa Bay or outside Grace Harbor. There are commercial fisheries that do occur in there, and there's some of our smaller boat commercial fishermen that fish in there. I think the point that you're raising is what we're saying, what I'm saying in the last bullet is, given that scale of the fishery, it's assumed to be small. I wouldn't want to be the one to say significant. I would leave that. Maybe that's a good question for commercial folks that are providing public testimony. But I think the feeling from us is, given the scale of the catch and the effort, that it's small in comparison to the commercial effort and catch.
I think kind of a 101 question. I guess as I've listened to crabbing presentations, I hadn't really thought of their two recreational methods, the ring nets is compared to the pots. I've always just thought of pots because that's what we talk about a lot. But do we understand sort of a proportion of recreational users between those two methods, or is there a crossover? How much is this opening up to recreational users if there's that other method to be used?
Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioner Thorburn. Given that we're not sampling our recreational fishery, I don't have a good idea. I do know that folks will fish both pots and ring nets. They fish for crab very differently. I think the preferred method is pots. It's something you maybe can leave in the water and come back and tend to them. I think a ring net approach is a little bit more hands-on and actively engaged in not necessarily just leaving there. And
would it be fair to say that, at least in my old habit, was the ring nets typically are used from docks and structures instead of boats. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
We have two public that wish to come up, so I'll call you both.
Thank you.
Matthew Wilson and Larry Keenan. So Matthew, you're first. Again.
Yes. Hi, thank you very much. It's my first... one of these?
Okay.
So I heard a lot of talk on soft shell crab. More sport fisher crabbers are very aware of soft shell crab. They release them over the side just like normal during any other time. We're also talking about the November time frame. November is probably one of the most treacherous times of the year for weather, sporadic weather coming into fishing areas like the coastal areas. So the sport season to be able to go down there and actually crab is very short. You're looking for nice weather, calm seas. We're not in 30, 40, 50 foot boats. You're going out putting a pot. We're allowed two pots per person. You're allowed to put them out and retrieve them. And generally, if you're going down for the weekend, you put them out maybe on a Saturday, retrieve them on Sunday morning, you're done. And it's not going to be you're not going to have recreational people going down and fishing the entire 2 weeks before. I mean, it's, so I was there last year. The commercial season was delayed. That's acknowledged. So we were actually able to plan and say, well, it looks like they're closed now till January. So we said, let's go right after Christmas. We went 2 days. We got 25 crab or something. The weather came up, we had a nice little window, we crabbed, we got a crab. Pots are much easier to handle, as they mentioned, the rings are hands-on. You got to actively pull them, put them in, pull them, put them in. We're talking November, it's very cold. Sport fishers are very weather dependent, so if it's not nice weather, we can't go, period. I've experienced the commercials going out. We went actually out using rings, and the very next day we went out and there was pots everywhere, and that's before I learned about this 72-hour soak period. So when the commercials go out, they carpet bomb the bay, and there's activity everywhere. So we went out after Christmas last year. There was basically five boats out of Willapa Bay at Tokeland, three probably in the harbor, and two being launched, and then us was probably six. And so you're talking pristine weather. It's a known fact that the fishery was closed to the commercials at the time, and there were still five to six boats total in Willapa Bay. There's a little bit of crabbing, I think, that goes out of Bay Center. I don't know if there's anything out of Raymond or South Bend, but the activity is almost nothing. December, once the commercial fishers go in, it's not really worth going.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Larry?
Thank you. I just wanted to say I was not aware of the 3-minute limit before I came in.
Brett, could you up and get his mic?
Yes, put the mic in front of him.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Larry Thievick. I'm the president for the Washington Dungeness Crab Fishermen's Association. I have been a commercial fisher for over 45 years. I'm trying to do a quick edit here. The coastal Dungeness crab fishery is sustainable and is the most valuable single species fishery on the West Coast. In answer to your question, last year, the ex-vessel value between the tribal fishers and the state fishers was $60 million. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about the proposed rule changes, but frankly, I'm not prepared to be here. I appear before you on very short notice. I am not as well prepared as I should be because I've had no time to properly review the proposal or consider the consequences, intended or otherwise, of this rule change. I am likely the only voice you will hear today from our coastal fishers, not because they do not care, but because they are, as I am, on short notice and in the process of ending this year's season. All crab must be removed. All crab gear must be removed from the ocean and all crab delivered by tomorrow. I do not know how familiar you are with completing that task, but it requires a great deal of energy, effort, and good weather to accomplish. And good weather is important for all people who try to venture on the ocean and the sea. Meaningful public input rests on an adequate public comment, period. The first notice of this specific proposal was sent to Washington Crab Advisors individually on September 6th via email. In fact, I did not see this notice until yesterday. Perhaps I should have seen it sooner, but even if I had, I would only have had 7 days to review, discuss with their board, and provide comment prior to today's meeting. I have never been limited to a public comment period of only 7 days for other issues where I've been involved. It is noted in your summary sheet the petitioner of this policy change was steered towards and guided through the commission process rather than the petition process. It was further noted in your public policy, or in your policy issue sheet, that such a process would allow for more discussion and public input than the petition process. I agree that it should, but in this case, it has not accomplished that so far. It is also mentioned in your summary sheet that through the process, the Coastal Dungeness Crab Advisory Board would have had a chance to understand the concerns fostered and the desired changes. It is true that the request for change was brought up. It is also true the advisory board accepted the equity argument over the gear conflict that recreational fishers should have the same opportunity to deploy their gear at the same time as commercial fishers who have a 72-hour pre-soak. 73 hours. The advisors considered this a reasonable solution to the gear conflict issue as it was presented to us. It wasn't argued that we needed more opportunity. The argument was there's a gear conflict and we'd like to try to resolve it. And we took a position that we thought would help do that. There were no advisory meetings to discuss a specific proposal other than equalizing the gear setting time frame. This is really short. One thing I do want you to understand before we go too far further is the crab resource is a public resource, and the vast majority of the public has access to the crab resource and other marine species through our commercial fisheries. As it stands, recreational opportunity is provided year-round. And I did want to say that over the last 12 years, the Grays Harbor fishery and the entire coast, the average pot fishery opportunity for the sport fishermen has been 42 days every year for 12 years. Prior to us starting, no gear conflict.
Thank you, Larry, for your testimony and coming here today. Talk a little bit. I know you mentioned it briefly, but you said that the crab advisors discussed not so much the allocation, but the gear conflict issue. When did those conversations take place, and what precipitated it? And maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Well, as Heather mentioned, it was brought up through the spring and summer, as a part of other discussions that the advisors had. But there was...
Let me interrupt you. When you say advisors, I assume you mean commercial and recreational.
No, what we have, and I, when I was trying to shorten my testimony, I was going to say what groups I'm on.
Okay.
And one of the, I'm on the Washington Coastal Marine Advisory Council, I'm on the Tri-State Crab Committee, and I'm on the Washington State Crab Advisory Board, which is composed of commercial fishing representatives that are appointed by the state. And it's, and those meetings are usually chaired by Heather or Michelle at this stage in our process. Previously, Phil Anderson and others that walked before these two, and I thank them for their service. However, I disagree with this process here. So we did have discussions, and like I said, it was presented to us as a gear conflict issue, meaning that we had the opportunity as commercial fishers on those rare occasions, by the way, where we do open on December 1, to put the gear in the water 73 hours prior to that opening. In the Willapa, the last 5 years, there's only been 1 year where there's been a December 1 opening. And in Grays Harbor, in the coastal area from Clipson North, there has been no opening on December 1 for 12 years. So there has been this exclusive opportunity. But anyway, so the question to us was, there are sport representatives that want to see that the gear conflict issue could be resolved and that they were looking for a fair start, a start of equal quality in terms of getting the gear in place. And so we responded to that. There is one other thing, if I could just say so, and I know I'm straying a bit and I'm testifying rather than answering the question. But remember also that the recreational fishery, and we do not object to this, perhaps we should, but we don't, have a size limit of 6 inches. And we have a size limit of 6 1/4. So it matters not if they're completely surrounded by commercial gear. They can still retain a crab that we cannot. And those crab taste just as good as the other crab.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One question for you, and then one question for Mr. Wilson, if I could. So I'm not clear whether your recommendation to the commission here is that you're opposed to this, or you want time to go back and talk to your membership, and you're not saying you're opposed to it, you just haven't had time to think about it. What is your punchline to the commission today?
My request at this time is for a more practiced public comment period of approximately 30 days so that we have a chance to properly review this proposal, because we were never presented this specific proposal. We talked about general ways to perhaps mollify and mitigate for the gear conflict issue, a solution we offered, but the idea that the department was going to come forward with an action item without us having an adequate time to comment on that specific plan is number one. I think that's what the duty today should be of the commission, is to table this until we have an opportunity to respond to it. And within that, I believe there's a number of issues that are shrouded in what seems to be a rather simple decision. It's not as simple as it sounds. They almost never are, as you know, as you sit on that side of this room. So first, let's delay the decision. Let's have a proper public comment period. And yes, out the gate, I would say I object to the policy, but I haven't examined it well enough to even know. I don't understand what the implications are. I haven't looked at the data to understand how the gear conflict issue has really acted. Like I said, in 12 years in Grays Harbor and from Clipson North, there's been no gear conflict at all, and the average head start or the average pot fishery opportunity for the sport fisherman has been 42 days.
Thank you. And Mr. Wilson, you mentioned gear conflicts inside the bay. So do you fish over the bar or do you fish inside? And when does the sport season inside start?
The sport fishery starts December 1st. So the commercials can set their pots 73 hours. So they basically can set their pots November 28th. So it's not really even a... It's not worth going. So I believe the majority of the sport fishers do fish inside the bays at that time of year. because of the inclemental weather that can come in, high surf, high swell. So most of it is done inside the bay, along with that's where the commercials generally target during the first month that they crab. And then after that, they generally start going out into the ocean themselves. I don't believe that they automatically go right out into the ocean. They generally try and fish easier inside the bay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Before we get to the decision, Heather, this would be an easier decision for me if I was real comfortable with the numbers that you presented. And so I guess my question is, why did we decide in about 2007 to stop tracking the numbers?
Mr. Baker, I wasn't part of the decision to do that, but I think funding was part of it. So while we collected the catch record card data, it wasn't actually used in an estimation process, which would include getting an effort estimate and also understanding the number of anglers that didn't report on their catch record card. So it's more complicated, and that's why I hopefully characterize that catch record card data as an idea of the catch, because it wasn't
trying to hold you to
sure it wasn't an official estimate. And then also we've long recognized that through the 3S management approach, we have a sustainable fishery, and so given competing agency resources, sampling the crab fishery just hasn't risen to the level of need funding wise to have firm numbers of catch. So I'm sure.
The inside fishery in the Willapa area. So this proposal is just for the marine areas. On the Columbia River, inside is open 12 months of the year. And so have the staff looked at consideration for opening the sport fishery inside before December 1 as a gear conflict thing? Why is this just the marine areas? Or is the marine area definition include the inside? And
Chair Smith, Commissioner McIsaac, yes, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I'll go back to the slide. The marine areas do include Grays Harbor and Willapa Bay. So this would include opening those areas on the 15th in addition to the adjacent coastal waters, everything except the Columbia River. Yeah.
And I want to phrase this so it comes out right, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but I really struggle with this whole fishery deal, because in my hunting world, we have a report we have to fill out every year. And it'd be one thing if it was all printed and you had to mail them in and blah, blah, blah. But in the world of technology, and trust me, I'm the last one that's got drug into the 21st century kicking and screaming, but how in the world do we measure something or mark something that we don't measure? I mean, to me, it just seems like a no-brainer that we should have something in place to where we can, because we've got more and more people on a very limited resource. And the better numbers that we keep on this, to me, just seems like a no-brainer, guys. I know it costs money, but it shouldn't cost that terrible amount on a website, should it?
Chair Smith, Commissioner Holzmer, you mean in terms of like some sort of an electronic reporting format? We haven't talked about it for commercial crab. I know it's something that.
The commercials, they're landing at a port, so I mean that's pretty easy to keep tabs on.
Sorry, correct? I meant to say recreational.
But yeah, okay.
All commercial crab landings are reported on a fish ticket. The discussion in our agency is allowing for more electronic reporting of recreational catch sorry, I should have said that. And so I think you're right. It's something we can think about for the commercial recreational fishery.
It just makes it to the point where it would be facts instead of wild guesses.
I'm more used to getting a briefing on one meeting and then taking a vote on the next. Mm-hmm. And also, I think in respect to the request from the commercial guys that they've only had a few days to review this, I would move that we delay this decision until the next meeting.
Yeah, and I would second that as well, if we really need a motion. So I'll second it, and I guess it's open for discussion. Yeah.
Okay, motion to delay for one month.
And may I ask a question of staff then? So I guess the thought was is if you got approval today that you could implement this for November 15 opener this year, correct?
Correct. Chair Smith, Commissioner Kehoe, yes, you could also, if you were to provide the opportunity for more public input, I think take this up at your October 5th conference call, and it could still be in place in time for the action to be effective on November 15th.
Yeah, I guess that's an option, and I think I like Commissioner McIsaac, it's not ideal to make decisions and conference calls. We do it sometimes. But I guess so. We also have a commission meeting in November, but that would make it impossible for the rule to go in effect for this year. But and I'll just make an observation. I think this is kind of, as you say, this is outside the norm. Typically, what you do is you do these. This is part of a year-long process sport changes. So, and then we had a petition to, and I understand the staff's working with a petitioner trying to get a compromise and offering this as a position. But I'm uncomfortable in doing it on a conference call. And I don't know if we need to amend the motion or not, but it would be my preference is to bring this up at the November, if provided we have space, at the November meeting, recognizing that it won't go into effect this year if it were to pass. I just think we need to do, given the testimony I hear today, I'm not comfortable in doing it today or on the 5th in the conference call.
So there's a motion to table it and bring it up in November.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was, so we don't need to, we could just have a consensus.
I would think.
Okay.
Yeah, no objections.
Any objections? Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
Before we get into public comment, Commissioner Keough?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So we received a request from staff on the amended coastal recreational Dungeness crab rule to, rather than wait till the November commission meeting to see if we could do this in October. On October 15th, the commission is having a special meeting, which was added to discuss the Columbia River policy review. And so that way, if we do it on the 15th, then I think we do have some time. That way, if there is a change, if the commission does adopt some sort of change to the recreational rule, that way it will allow the change to go in effect for this season in November. So I've talked with Larry, and he is committed to working with staff and submitting comments and getting some more dialogue going prior to the 15th. So I think if that's acceptable to the rest of the commission, I think that's probably what we should do. And but let me, just by saying that, I personally think I don't want to kind of add more agenda items than that. I think we've got Columbia River is going to take up a lot of time, so I don't want, you know, kind of this to kind of be creep up, issue creep or schedule creep.
Well,
so
we're meeting with the governor.
So we have a full day. Yeah. So that's
day is full.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.